This is UN and Africa from the United Nations in New York. I'm Daniel Dickinson. In this week's programme, refugees in Kenya are being encouraged to return home to Somalia, and an alarming drought in Zimbabwe threatens 4 million people. But first, the Sahel region of Africa suffers terrible poverty compounded by climate change and further ravaged by violent extremism. That's according to Toby Lanza, the UN Regional Humanitarian Coordinator for the Sahel. He was at UN headquarters in New York for a meeting organised by the UN Economic and Social Council, ECOSOC, to call for more solidarity and funding to meet growing humanitarian needs. Across the region, over 23.5 million people face food insecurity. Almost 6 million children are malnourished, and at least 4.5 million are displaced by conflict. Speaking to Jocelyn Sambira about the needs on the ground, Toby Lanza began by sharing his message to the international community.
You know, I'm underlining a reality which faces 150 million people across the Sahelian belt, a reality which is terrible poverty compounded by climate change and further ravished by violent extremism. Let's take a specific example, the Lake Chad Basin, where there are about 20 million people. 4.4 million of them today are severely food insecure. I think that's a technocratic way of saying they're really on the edge of starvation. They're on the verge. And we need to step up our engagement. Now, I think the issue there is it's not only a question about relief. It's a question about relief and development. It's also a question about advocacy. How can we in the UN system work harder to keep people safer at home, where they're from, where they want to be? So I'm working assiduously with colleagues at ECOSOC on these important questions.
How much funding will the region need? How much has the region asked for?
The region has asked for some $2 billion, and the funding is very low at the moment. I think donor capitals are stretched because of the multiplicity of very large crises. In the case of the Lake Chad Basin, though, I have to say I was disappointed this year with the performance of the donors. I think not enough has been done, and in the coming months I'm really counting on whether it's Brussels or Washington or other key donors really to step up their engagement, and let's see where that takes us, because at the end of the day, not enough food means people die, not enough medicines means people die, not enough shelter means people die.
Mali's also under your mandate, and it's quite an insecure region, especially in the north. How much more difficult will it be to actually do something there?
Well, you know, in all of these settings, whichever of the countries we're talking about, of course, it's the governments that really have to step in and protect and assist populations. And I think that in the north of Mali, there are questions to be asked, and I think that more could be done by many, many different players. I'm worried about Mali, a place where some 700,000 children risk dying this year of malnutrition. I mean, it's an atrocious situation, and seemingly neglected and forgotten by the international community, again, because of all these other pressing crises of the day. But does that mean a child in Mali must die? Well, I would hope not, and I'm here to sound that alarm as well.
Toby Lanza speaking to Jocelyn Sambira. In Kenya, moves are continuing to encourage about 320,000 Somali nationals to leave Dadaab, one of the biggest camp complexes in the world for displaced people. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, which was present at talks with government representatives from Kenya and Somalia, says that the target for 2016 is to see around half of those people return home voluntarily. All of them are to be offered a safe return in the light of continuing military operations against Al-Shabaab terrorists in the Horn of Africa country, as the agency Rauf Mazu told Daniel Johnson.
You have to look at Somalia as a very diverse place. The security in various parts of Somalia varies, and the refugees are going back to places that are safe. And we know that since 2011, when we had the last major influx from Somalia, which was primarily due to the drought and famine, we've had a return, we estimate, of about 120,000. So there are parts of Somalia which are accessible where refugees can return. The issue now is to make sure that in this part of Somalia, returnees have access to basic services. The idea is definitely not to return refugees to parts of the country that are unsafe.
I guess that's the message that UNHCR wants to be giving to the refugees in Dadaab, isn't it? That you're not going to abandon them, and even those that don't want to go, they'll still be getting help from you.
More importantly, they should continue to be provided with asylum and protection by the government of Kenya, because we do channel resources and support from the international community, but at the end of the day, the protection and asylum is given by the Kenyan government and the Kenyan people. And what the government of Kenya has repeated on a number of occasions is that it would continue to abide by its international obligations as it had for the past 20, 25 years. You have to keep in mind that Kenya is the second country in Africa when it comes to the number of refugees being received, and Kenya has in the region played a very positive role in providing support and assistance to refugees.
What exactly do these returnees need? How might the international community get behind them?
Security is the number one issue, because as I mentioned to you, there are parts of the country that are not safe. The second thing is some of the support that they get in Dadaab, which is education, which is healthcare, which is shelter. This is not the kind of support that they require in their places of origin once they return. It's expensive. It requires massive support from the international community. But there are parts of Somalia where people can rebuild their lives if they are provided with this kind of support.
Daniel Johnson speaking to UNHCR's Rauf Mazu. A drought in Zimbabwe is threatening the well-being of around 4 million people, according to the UN resident coordinator in the southern African country. The situation caused by the El Niño weather system has been described by the UN's Bisho Parajuli as alarming. International donors are being urged to provide more money to counter what is fast becoming a humanitarian crisis. I've been speaking to Mr. Parajuli.
The whole Southern Africa region is affected by drought, and over 30 million people are expected to be suffering. Zimbabwe is one of the worst in the region. A few months ago, we estimated about 3 million people affected. Now it's risen to 4 million, so it's alarming. It's a landlocked country. It has a logistics challenge. It also has other economic challenges while it's undergoing a reform agenda.
4 million people out of a total population of about 13 million, that's a huge number.
Absolutely, it's over 30%. It is very worrisome because the harvest is expected to be very little. The rain came as late as February, March, so people planted few times, still they fail. It's not that they didn't make effort, so it's really worrisome. And I visited some of these areas myself, so I've seen it, tremendous effort made and the pain they're going through.
How are people faring?
Well, the UN system, the government development partner have been making good effort. In fact, we're reaching about 1.1 million people now. The current months are our harvest period, so people have some crop. But as we move forward, beginning October to March, we'll have a critical situation. So we must prepare. In fact, the UN system has developed a humanitarian response plan for 3 million people for about $360 million. But understand the latest estimate, the number needing help would be 4 million, so the requirement will be much higher.
How close to a crisis is this?
Well, we don't want to make it a crisis. That's why we have to take action in advance. The government has declared emergency. They have appealed for international help.
How much money is needed to deal with this emergency?
For 3 million people, we estimated about $360 million. That's in terms of food, in terms of water, nutrition, health, as well as protection and education, because it's the drought El Nino crisis is not just about food only. It has an implication on water, sanitation, education. Children are coming out of school because of high level of poverty, and we have a risk of diseases if it's not taken care of. So it's fundamental that we work in a wholesome manner.
Bisho Parajuli, UN resident coordinator in Zimbabwe. And that brings us to the end of this edition of UN and Africa. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.